Well, I spoke to my friend Professor Price. So he told me everything that I needed to know. He said I shouldn't worry about bumping anybody off, which I think is great. You know, make sure that I take, well, I am OCD, so make sure I take a shower for the shower game. I want to make sure I'm not a little bit too loony or a little bit too toony. And I need to make sure I'm on the spot, I'm off the spot, but on the nose.
If you know, you know.
Oh, wait, that was my secret ex. Hold on. Come here, buddy.
We love to interrupt, spreading the game show love every week on 5and1.net.
Illegal Monopoly, starring Michael Rapino, will not be heard at this time, so that we may go to this replacement.
This is Gordon Pepper, and no one will ever replace us.
Let's hope not.
I hope not. This sort of thing makes my Thursdays, guys. Until we're talking about the NFL draft next week. And then that will make my Thursday, and this will be made, I don't know, sometime. We haven't figured
sometime
that out.
Sometime is always the best time. And we have all sorts of stuff, including, hey, Gordon got it right again. Hey, James Ding's getting it really right. And hey, you know that whole free gaming thing? Well, you got that right, Jay. But... And by the way, Jay is seeing double trouble. We will get to that later. We'll get to higher or lower later. We'll get to a lot of things later. But for right now, let's start. Chico.
From somewhere in America, WLTI is out. Let's go.
Whee!
It's getting hot out there, and it's almost May sweeps time. This is April 16th, 2026, episode number 532 on WLTI. My name is Jason Block, strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy, and I am here with Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper. Gentlemen, are you ready to talk about a super, super, super champ?
Oh, the super... hold on. There we go. If you're going to do the joke, do it right.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy.
What can we say about Jamie Ding, that we haven't said already? He's going for...
I know. This is Jeopardy. We didn't do that one yet.
No, we did not. Now let's never think of it again.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to... Yeah, let's see. Leaderboard... Yes. So, here we go. Mr. Jamie Ding has won, as of tonight, 25 games in a row. Okay?
And with that...
He is...
Over $700,000. $702,000 to be exact. But how did we get here?
Which puts him in sixth place still of all-time money. Next person to get is Chris Pinullo at $748,286. He is now the fifth greatest Jeopardy contestant as far as games go. It's 25 going into tonight, and same verse, same as the first.
Yep. Andrew Younger from San Diego and Aaron Adams from Orlando hope to unseat Jamie, but Jamie says, ain't gonna happen.
Lock game again, and Gordon, we thought of you with this World Landmarks clue. In 2025, a church begun in 1882 became the tallest building in this city.
What is Pepperdine?
No, no. It's not Pepperdine.
Viva
no.
La musica. Viva la fiesta. Viva la noche. Viva los DJs. What the
f***? Right. Do you remember Sac Noel's Loca People? Do you know what
I sure do, of course. La gente está muy loca.
What the f***? Yeah. Right. That is the Mascara Sagrada in Barcelona. Jamie got it right. He is now $702,000 going, and he is a 25-day champion as of today. Gordon, he really had a dominant week this week. There were no mistakes, really.
He's had a dominant 25-day run. Maybe once or twice he was vulnerable?
Yeah, once or twice, yes. Yep.
Yeah.
I can't see him losing right now, because Gordon, these are supposedly stronger contestants, right? Because this is April.
Well, because it's in sweeps, yes. Well, yeah, because it's in sweeps, yes. June is usually when we don't get that.
So if he can get,
If he can get to June, and that's not unheard of, I can. If he can get to June, he may be there for a while.
He could be.
If he can get to, let's put it like this, okay? Let's look at a calendar, shall we?
Okay. Right now, as we record this, it is April 16th. Midway through April. Sweeps begins in a week and a half.
But I'm just saying, if he gets to the end of April, that will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's 35, okay? If he gets through May, that's another 21, that's 56, okay? If he gets through June, that's another... If he gets through June, he breaks the record.
He gets through June.
Well, he's got to get there first.
He does. And the thing of it is, it's not easy. Father Time comes for us all. Nancy Zerg on line one.
Right. But right now, he's a monster. He's a monster, and he's good, and he's really good.
And we said as Gordon said as much last week, the only person who can beat Jamie at this point is Jamie himself. The only way he's going to lose is if somehow he trips up and can't recover.
On the daily double, because he makes big bets on the daily doubles, and he's also made big bets on the final Jeopardy question, too.
Yeah, he makes big bets, and he likes to go for it. There are times when he misses when he goes for it. So, again, you've got to play to your strengths. You can't just... Jay always says, ain't worth going for if you can't, ain't worth betting if you can't bet big. I'd say play to your strengths.
All I know is...
Now, is your strengths, here's the question, is your strengths playing in teams?
Ah, yes.
That's a segue, folks.
Another twist in Survivor, the episode was called Double the Fun, Double the Demise. So Jonathan and Chrissy and Stephanie told Coach to lay low after his attitude over the previous vote, and he lied to Tiffany, said he didn't push her name, but she was like, no. So tribe members were told to divide themselves into pairs.
All right, okay, a little background story. That actually is a nod to Survivor source material, the original series Expedition Robinson, because Paired Destinies, as it was called, has existed since the 2003 season of Sweden's Expedition Robinson.
Aha! Uh-huh. Okay, that's good. So the chosen
keep in mind that this specific concept, it's not the first time we've even seen this in American soil, because we sort of got stuck with this during Big Brother Season 9.
Right. Yes. That'd help us all. So the chosen pairs were Aubrey and Rick, Chrissy and Coach, Christian and Jonathan, Emily and Rizzo, Joe and Tiffany, and Ozzy and Stephanie, and Siri is holding the bag. So, she goes to exile. She goes, and the tribe was then told that one pair would be voted out, with each individual voting for a pair. So, Siri, who was immune from the vote, was sent to Exile Island. While at Exile Island, she competed in a challenge to find a marked coconut before the timer ran out, which she won and earned the right to camp and vote for in the tribal council. Now, in the immunity challenge, the pair navigated an obstacle course and completed a table maze. The winning pair won immunity in addition to a reward of spaghetti and wine, which Joe and Tiffany won.
By the way, it should be noted, players got to choose their own pairs. They benefited from their partner's immunity or other twists, and they will ultimately end up voting as individuals. So there you go.
Okay.
And like you said, Joe and Tiffany won. They won immunity and a little turvy super side.
Right. So, Emily wanted Chrissy and Coach out due to their alliance. Rizzo wanted Aubrey and Rick to prevent them from playing the middle. Chrissy wanted to blindside Emily to flush the latter's idol. And Siri rallied votes against Chrissy and Coach to protect Rizzo. Okay? At Tribal Council, Rick publicly grabbed his fake idol, going, "No, we can't do this!" Coach uses shot in the dark, not safe, and then Chrissy and Coach were voted out 10-1-1. Not a surprise. Coach was not long for this game.
Nope, you could tell after the last episode when it sort of ended with Coach crashing out that he's become a liability, and Chrissy just happens to be collateral damage at this point.
Yep.
So, and now I am going to rip the Band-Aid off.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Here we go.
How many people are left in that pre-gaming alliance?
What pre-gaming alliance? I'm not...
Okay, Gordon?
Come on, Jay.
Okay, please, one more time. All of the pre-gaming alliance. Siri, Rizzo, Ozzy. Am I missing anybody?
There are 6 people in the pre-gaming alliance. There are 11 people left. What does that mean?
It means they have the numbers. Which means if they want you
and
gone,
it means,
you're gone.
It means we're going to see a final 6 of free gaming.
Whee!
Woo!
Jay, defend us. What do you have to say for yourself?
Okay. I don't care. Don't care. Okay? Pre-gaming means nothing to me, okay? It meant nothing in Big Brother, okay? It means nothing here.
What do you mean it meant nothing in Big Brother? The pre-gamers won it.
Okay. Put it to you this way. The pre-gaming has not affected gameplay. It hasn't affected anything to me. I'm sorry, and even if there was, so what? So what?
General Lewis on line 1.
Okay, so what? So what?
Everybody else on all the other lines? Because it's not theoretically fair for the game. If you're playing a social game, you shouldn't be able to hold on to any social pre-gaming alliance. I mean, this is what happened in Survivor 49. They booted 2 people because of that.
They ain't gonna boot. They're not gonna boot anybody from 50 because it's different.
Well, it's a little bit too late now.
Right, they won't. But they wouldn't have. They even if before the game, they wouldn't have booted anybody. You know that. You know that they didn't have any. They may have had backups on standby. They have backups on standby. I am just saying that. I do not believe that we are going to get the pregame alliance 6. We're not.
All right.
We'll bet you a sushi dinner a pregamer wins this.
Well, I'm not going to take that bet because I will.
I'll side with Gordon. I'll get money on Gordon any day of the week.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to deny that a pregamer might win this, but I'm not saying we're going to get the pregaming sticks at the end.
I don't know if we are or not, because, again, you do have immunity. You do have things that way that can foul up a group. That being said, you don't have anything that could foul up an individual or even a duo or trio, for that matter.
Yep.
Unless somebody can win a whole bunch of times and know how to make fire real good.
Speaking of fire, hey, fire plus pig equals barbecue. And that is your North Carolina math lesson for the week.
Now, this week, there is no mini challenge. It's all about the pig, okay? So in two teams, this is not
only
delivery.
A little bit late there. Yes. Well, technically, it is deliverance because one contestant wound up squealing.
Yes.
Okay, so
Chess had to work through the night to prepare a whole hog barbecue at a place called Splendor Pond in Mooresville.
Now, Mooresville is in Iredell County. I drive through Mooresville to get from Fayetteville to Cherokee. Y'all know why I go to Cherokee. So, yeah, I'm
quite profit. Profit.
Profit. Yes. By the way, I am long overdue for a trip to Cherokee. I've been going to Virginia. Sorry, Mr. Miyagi. Anyway, the winner of the previous elimination challenge, Anthony, becomes the captain of one team and has to choose the opposing team's captain. He picks Justin. Then, schoolyard pick, we have Anthony, Brandon, Du Yen, Lawrence, and Sherry on the red side. And on the gray side, we have Jennifer, Jonathan, Justin, Oscar, and Singer.
So, each team was responsible for cooking five dishes, including pork shoulder, pork loin, pork belly, ham, and chopped pork. They were served in five head-to-head rounds to the judges. So you got guest judge Michael Wallace and a group of pit masters.
Michelle Wallace,
I'm sorry. Okay.
A group of local pit masters. Top Chef Wisconsin.
Yeah, I got it. Who voted for their favorite dish in each matchup. The contestant who garnered the most votes won the round, earning themselves 5,001 points for the team. First team to win three gets the points. While the judges declared an individual winner who received immunity for the next challenge, all members of the winning team received $500 each. In addition, during the chef's cooking period, Tom Colicchio stopped by and participated in a side quest. Who makes the best s'more? Oscar wins the spicy chili s'more and receives $500. So, the red team, believe it or not, sweeps the top three. In shoulder, Sherry. Loin, Lawrence. Belly, Brandon. Jennifer and Oscar in the ham and chopped got the consolation 2 points. So, the actual winner, was Lawrence, who spoke pork loin, pork floors, and rice East Meats East sauce, and Seeger's pork loin, crispy ear terrine, and mustard-based carrot would have normally sent him to Last Chance Kitchen. We don't know why. Okay? We have a surprise showdown where the eliminated contestants have to compete $5,000. No elimination. This is just a cash twist. Okay, so they were presented with a random sorting of ingredients, which would have been purchased by these contestants: Korean melon, pickled Vietnamese eggplant, Li Hing Wei, durian, the stinky feet fruit, right?
Yep.
Banana flowers, buckheads, coriander, bitter melon, shrimp and crab oil concentrate, strawberry jellies, fish sauce, fried fish with peanuts and liver spread. They had to create cohesive dishes using two ingredients on first serve, Rhoda, Nana, and Brittany.
All right. Rhoda has a miso-style soup with shiitake mushrooms and tofu. Nana has fried green tomatoes with coconut peanut sauce. And Brittany has poached shrimp with cucumber, carrot, eggplant, and melon. The winner of the 5,000 doll hairs, Nana.
Congratulations. And we will find out where Seeger goes next week. But we need to know where our eliminated queens go.
All right, it is the All RuPaulapalooza SmackDown with the eliminated players looking to curry the favor of one Jamal Sims as well as the rest of the panel. Here we have, we're going to have six, the lower six will compete, and then the winners will go on to take on three more queens. Those winners will take on one more queen, with the final deciding who wins. I believe the prize for winning is 50,000 doll hairs.
Correct. So,
I have the lineup. I have the song.
Go for it.
Okay, so, round one, Sierra Mist versus Athena Dion. Song is,
these are all RuPaul songs, by the way.
Yes, they are. And they are. That's the best. And the song is Born Naked featuring Clary Brown. Sierra wins. Then Be a Star versus Mandy Mango in Just What They Want. Mia wins. Didi Fuego. There's a name I haven't heard in a long time. Versus Vita Von Testar. Song is called Main Event. Vita wins. Now we go to round two. Vita takes on Mia with Call Me Mother. Mia wins. Kenya Pleaser takes on Sierra with Pretty Gang, the Ellis Bash remix. Kenya wins. And Discord Adams takes on Jane Don't. And the song that you are listening to right now as we are recording this, Sissy That Walk. Jane wins. Now we go to the final, the penultimate round, I should say, the semifinals, as it were. Jane Don't versus Juicy Love Dion. Cha-Cha Bitch featuring AB Soto. Juicy wins. Kenya Pleaser versus Be a Star. Peanut Butter featuring Big Freedia. Mia wins. And now we go to the finals. The song, which is the song, the other song that we play for this segment, Cover Girl. And the winner, Juicy Love Dion. 50K a day giveaway. Do you agree?
So,
do you agree with this?
What stud called that one?
I believe that was you.
I think we all did, kind of.
Kind of.
I think
sort
we all did. Okay. But I have to ask, Gordon, has your mind changed about who's going to win this week?
Nope.
Okay, neither is he. No. It's Mikey Meeks. Any stretch.
I'll say this, it's Mikey Meeks to lose.
It is.
You know, yes. You don't know, you never know what that last challenge is going to be, but it's clearly Mikey Meeks to lose.
It is Mikey Meeks to lose. But I imagine that the grand finale, which airs tomorrow night as we record this, is going to be one for the history books. Oh, sorry. One for the herstory books. My mistake.
Yes.
I'm learning.
So, We needed to play two themes here.
The first one
is this. Of so the returning champion experiment has gone 9 for 9, so to speak. 9 1-day champions in a row.
Yes. And you know what? That's okay. That is absolutely okay.
Because when we see it next fall, and we will...
Yeah.
We're going to get a super champ eventually, right,
Gordon? We're going to get a star.
Oh, no question about it. Of course we're going to.
We're going to get a star.
But again, I'm just asking this. Do you believe that this is a test to basically show
what's going to happen
next year?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's a test, and it's also a way for the producers to say, you see, there probably will never be a mega champ, even though we all know that there will be.
There's totally going to be a mega champ. Y'all remember 20 years ago when they introduced the concept of mega champs on Jeopardy, and Gordon was the one who said, all that needs to happen is the right champ at the right time. And
I remember me saying that, actually.
And lo and behold, a software designer from Seattle by the name of Kenneth Wayne Jennings III was the right champ at the right time.
Yep. Oh, yeah. But I need you. We need to talk about something we saw on MeTV, and this is something we knew about and know about years ago.
Yes, it is.
It's kind of fun.
It is. The man with the largest game show collection that we know of, a man that we are good friends with, a man that we've mentioned many times on this podcast, the man by the name of Bob Bowden. He is a game show producer, former president of GSN. His credits include Match Game, Press Your Luck, and currently Funny You Should Ask. Now, it seems like the story behind how big his collection is that every time a production closes down, he will ask to rescue a piece of the set, because you know how TV works. You strike the sets, you either put them in storage or they just remain struck. Bob will always go in and say, hey, this stuff is, you're not going to be using this anymore. I would like to have it. And they would just give it to him. So his goal...
He amassed an incredible collection, which we have both seen on video, and some of us, well, not us, but other people, have seen it in person.
Yes. And like I said, his goal, this is according to MeTV.com, is to preserve game show history through his collection and eventually house it in the National Archives of Game Show History, where a great deal of it now is housed.
Mm-hmm.
That includes, we have, these were the big ones that were profiled, the Wheel of Fortune $5,000 prize wedge.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
The whammy cards and the whammy slides from Press Your Luck.
Which we have all seen, yes.
Gene Rayburn's microphone. By the way, the value is $15,000.
Yeehaw.
The big lever from the Joker machine on the Joker's Wilds, the original Joker's machine. The J from the Jeopardy set. The original Jeopardy set from 1984. The Family Feud face-off podium. Now this is the one that was used in the 1988 run, which was actually the refurbished 1976 podium. Bet you didn't know that.
That's pretty. I did not know that.
Yeah. They refurbished it, relit it.
That was Adam Nita who told us that.
Yes, it was.
And if you look in some of the pictures here, there is, oh my God, there is so much Price is Right stuff here. It is the any number board, a most expensive tag, right?
There's some card sharks. There's card sharks cards. The light up from Pay the Rent, Family Feud answer card from 1999. The Whammy logo from 2002. All told, his collection is appraised at a value of $1.2 million.
And he had about 10,000 items, a lot of which are now in Rochester at the Strong Museum of Play, with the Game Show Museum supposed to open, I believe, in 2028.
Yes.
So good on you, Bob. Now you have some stuff to collect, space to collect more stuff.
Space to collect more stuff. Yay!
Indeed. So we have to re-review sort of a new version of an old show or an old version of, you know what it is. It's America Says.
It's America Says. GSN is billing it as season 6. It looks absolutely like an upgrade from previous seasons, but at its heart, the game remains the same. John Michael Higgins remains as good as he ever was, maybe even better because now he's got some, you know, some tread on the tire, let's just say. The game is the game, and if you loved the previous 5 seasons, you're going to love season 6.
I was going to say, the only new thing here is the fact that it looks prettier.
Pretty much.
Because the car is still the same engine.
It's the exact same show. It's a B show. It really is good.
I'm gonna go A-minus on this. It's a show that has not lost any luster, a show that the fans have been clamoring for, and now they've got it back.
Nah, B is the correct grade. It's a good show, it's decent, it doesn't reinvent the wheel, it doesn't need to reinvent the wheel, but solid. B is good.
Now the question is, does it expand and enhance on its original run?
No.
No. How can it? You didn't change anything. I mean, you didn't troop up the chassis or change the tires. You put a new coat of paint over it, but it's still the same car.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Exactly what it is. I mean, it'll get a couple more seasons because it's cheap to produce. And it's a solid show for GSN.
Yeah, and you don't redecorate the set if you're only going to have it for one more season.
There you go. Unfortunately, it's a season of 40 episodes, but do not be shocked if Game Show Network goes back for more.
They will. But we will go back for more because we got some numbers about Higher Lower, but first, Chico.
First, it's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know, including CBS the first out the gate with what to look for this fall. And, ho-ho, one of the things is something 54 years in the making, I should say. With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander, sick and safe 501. You're home, where we love to interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 people that Jason Block will pregame with the next time that he goes on a reality show or a game show. Because Jason likes to win.
No, I will not. Thank you very much. I'm a fair play guy.
Johnny Fair Play?
Ha ha. yeah, well, we'll be back right after this.
One in four of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly two-thirds of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us. It's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation. End the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org.
Brain Vision News is presented by American Gladiator Says. Yep, we asked a whole lot of American gladiators and some international gladiators the questions. Get them right, you get the money. Get them wrong, you get walloped with a pugil stick. And also wrestled to the ground with a power ball. That is American Gladiator Says. Oh, watch out for the Atlas Spear. That last step's a doozy. I cannot wait for that reboot tomorrow. To drop tomorrow.
Well, or tonight at 3 a.m., depending on how you want to look at it.
So. Let's just say I will be watching when I get to work at 5 in the morning.
Well, I will be watching because we will be reviewing that next week. Well, next time. May not be next week, but next time.
Well tell you about there's that. Definitely going to be another show after this one. Let's just say that.
Yeah, but I'm talking about because, well, yes, big show. But now,
yes.
Gordon, if you would please.
All that beautiful draft brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games at Rock 104, Rock Tracks, and at Tracks Productions. And please don't forget to listen to Doug Morris as he hosts Rock Tracks every weekday. No, every Sunday. From high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt on Rock 104, WXRR Hattiesburg, 104.5 on your FM dial, and all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 app. Hey, remember that iBat that we used last week, Jay?
Oh, I cleaned it up for you.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, we talked about the iBat because CBS is the first out the gate with the fall schedule. I have it in front of me right here, and this is what it looks like. Monday, FBI, CIA, and Harlan Coben's final twist. Tuesday, basically NCIS all night. The original flavor.
What is that, NCIS?
NCIS New York, which is a new show with an old face. LL Cool J returns in the role of Sam Hanna as he is teamed up with Scott Kahn of Hawaii Five-0, and NCIS Origins to round out the night. Wednesday, Survivor and The Amazing Race both return in their 90-minute iterations. Thursday, George and Mandy's First Marriage, the new comedy Eternally Yours, and Elspeth and the new drama Cupertino. Friday, Sheriff Country, Fire Country, and Boston Blue. Saturday, Encores and 48 Hours. And Sunday, 60 Minutes, Marshalls, Tracker, and more Encores. Held for mid-season are Einstein, a new show featuring Matthew Gray Gubler of Criminal Minds, Matlock, and Ghosts, and NCIS Sydney.
The Amazing Race has already been.
I'm surprised that Ghost got relegated to mid-season replacement.
I am surprised too. I mean, that's a really popular show. I love watching it. Keith loves watching it.
Which one?
Ghosts.
That's a mid-season replacement. I'm surprised. I am very surprised. And Matlock too, mind you.
Yeah, that has plot exposition written all over it. Not on the list right now, America's Culinary Cup or Hollywood Squares.
Or The Road.
America's Culinary Cup. Well, I mean, these are all summer shows, so a little early?
Maybe. But we will keep an eye on it. But
America's Culinary Cup is not really a summer show, but it's still airing right now.
Yes. But one thing that is on the schedule is this Christmas, for the first time in 54 years,
we get this. not just any Price is Right at Night, right, Rico?
Not just any Price is Right at Night. For the first time in 54 years, The Price is Right is going live.
Theoretically, it's not as dangerous as it seems, because all of us have been to the Price is Right taping, and it is taped like it would be live in a 60-minute segment, complete with commercials and ads and stuff like that. So,
except for the
I'm
fact,
not, it's, I think it's fun. I think it's great, and it really may demystify a whole bunch of things. So, I'm down for it.
Me too, but I'm just right now, supposedly, the taping now is not.
It's not as live as it. It's not live to tape so much as it was before.
Right. And I think they're going to rehearse it to the point where they're going to get it right.
Yeah.
They're going to go back. They're going to go back to the Dobkiewicz way at least for one show.
Yeah, I have the thing here, hosted by Drew Carey with announcer George Gray. The Price is Right special will provide viewers with unprecedented behind-the-scenes access alongside Carey, Gray, the models, and the production team as they race to keep the show on track, resetting games, transforming the stage, and beating the clock. No, Beat the Clock is another show!
Right.
Maybe they'll do Clock Game.
Oh, that would be pretty awesome. But yeah, that...
Yeah, no, seriously, though. What would be six quick games that you could do?
They've got to bring out the Plinko board. It's not that hard to wheel out and onto the stage.
Plinko board...
I don't think you'll see Plinko.
Oh.
Okay.
Plinko board's not a quick game. It's not. Race game, but I'm also sort of thinking in my mind that everything that they do may have a time key component element to it.
Yes.
Maybe. But we will see as Price is Right will go live this Christmas. That is, what, 6-7 months away? 8 months away?
8 months away. Yes.
And the other thing is this, if it's going to be on Christmas, it's going to have some really high ticket items. So think about some things that could go fast that would have high ticket items attached to it.
Mm. Well, we have 8 months to think about.
Well, any
all of
number?
This.
Any number?
Yeah. Most expensive?
Yeah, something like that. But we have a pretty packed date book, if you don't mind.
Yes, go, go.
Friday, as we record this, is the premiere of the Miz-hosted AEW wrestlers and others. Gladiators from American Gladiators, which was filmed in London last year. Celebrity Jeopardy All-Stars. I actually have something we need to talk about also on in the business end in a second. The season finale of RuPaul's Drag Race is tomorrow, too. Sunday is the season finale of the Tournament of Champions. Monday is Funny AF with Kevin Hart. The Greatest Average American season finale. Shark Tank season finale on Wednesday, and Last One Laughing
Italy
season Italy is the season premiere on Thursday. But can you play the Jeopardy theme one more time, please?
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Picture Studios, this is Jeopardy.
We have a season 2 premiere date for Pop Culture Jeopardy on Netflix, which will be May 11th. Okay.
Yep.
And they are rolling and supposedly they are going to roll the dates out. Like it's going to be a daily show. It's going to be one episode every day from May 11th to June 5th. Okay.
All right.
I like that.
I
think that's really cool. I'm down for that.
Okay. Now, they're changing it. But the second season, we'll see a 15 episode regular season, with the top 9 teams advancing to finals week the first week of June. Okay, so that's that. Okay,
that's pretty.
So you know what? I think they're changing the format to seeing what works and streamlining everything.
Yep, pretty much. But
if you're getting a 15 episode regular season, okay, that means at that's going to be 45 teams. Is that right?
45 teams, and they have to pick nine, the top nine. And well, the top nine of the 15 winners.
Right, exactly. So, what else was I going to say? So they're really cutting it. They're really streamlining it. Like that.
I like it a lot.
Because it was a little bloated the first time around.
Yep.
Now, what was it? 27 episodes in the pop culture season one?
27 episodes. Those winners go on to find out 9 more winners, and then they do the final week.
They had 40 episodes on season one, and they're doing, let's see.
They're doing a
19 or 20, right?
20. I would wager 20 episodes on season two.
Well, they said May 11th to June 5th, right?
Yes.
Is it going to be during the week, or is it going to be every day?
I believe it's going to be every day, like every weekday.
Okay, still, that's actually quite cool. But we also need to talk about Dad App, though. Chico, remember we were talking about the Price is Right scandal special on E and how yuck we felt, but happy for women who got their justice?
Yes, and apparently there's more story to tell because the battle for Price is being options for a movie. Gotham Group has options. Unsung Warriors of the Price is Right, which is a story that appeared by our award-winning journalist David Kushner and published in Business Insider in September 2024. That will be told in movie form. Well, we all know the story. We've all seen the docs. Now we're going to see the story behind the story. A quote here from Ellen Goldsmith Vane of the Gotham Group. She says, David Kushner's reporting is exactly the kind of deeply human, culturally resonant story we look for. Holly Hallstrom and the women who stood with her are genuine American heroes, and their fight deserves to be told on the largest possible stage. Hey, as long as you don't do what the luckiest man in America did, we're going to call it good. Am I right, folks?
Well, I agree. It should definitely not go where the luckiest man in Hollywood went. I'm not sure really how they can do anything more with it than they already have.
I guess we will find out when this movie gets finished.
Agreed.
Agreed. Yeah. And you know what? We'll see how smart this is. This, not so smart.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb.
Oh, are you smarter than Guy Fieri? And before you say yes, next question, please.
Well, no, okay. It's not so much how smart he is, it's how dumb he is about the cover-up.
Yeah. Okay, so a bit of backstory. Saturday was a UFC event. Guy Fieri was in the crowd. He was, you know, hugs and hand pounds with Tristan and Andrew Tate. And if you know about Tristan and Andrew Tate...
I feel sorry for you.
Yeah, they have to be the poster boys for the Manosphere, but they are also, how can I put this? They were addressing allegations of rape
and
sexual
assault,
and coercive control. And then in Romania, they are indicted on charges of human trafficking and forming an organized criminal group to exploit women. By the way, ALLEGATIONS. Thank you, Brain.
Right. So, when, and let's just say social media was not having it, and, well, kind of rightfully so. So Fieri said this, quote.
Hold on. Let's play the music.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
He is, quote, devastated, quote. I was there to see the fights, and when I was walking through the venue, the Tate brothers stood up and said hello, and that's when the exchange happened. I did not know them about them before that moment. I'll never pretend to be a perfect person, but let me be crystal clear. I do not know the Tate brothers or support them in any way. Now, there was an event that was supposed to be happening tonight in New York City with Waterloo Sparkling Water with a collaboration of Fieri, which was Apple Pie a la Mode, Coconut Lime Cooler, and Root Beer Float. Okay?
Right.
However, the lawyer for Andrew Tate, okay?
A man by the name of Joseph McBride.
You have it, right?
I have it right here. And he says, Guy Fieri knew exactly who Andrew and Tristan Tate were. He stood up, he walked over, and for one moment, he acted like a man who doesn't need permission to say hello. The people who pressured Guy Fieri into his pathetic capitulation are the same people who have spent years manufacturing a case against two innocent men.
And McBride called Guy Fieri. I have to say this. He looks like a man who sits down to urinate. Now, okay, Gordon, I need to hear your opinion on this. Because I have one, and I want to hear yours first.
Well, you know, it's one of the things that I speak about a lot. When you are in a place and you don't know who the person is, and you have a lineup of people with press and with other people like that, it is very easy for you to be, for somebody to say, hey, sign this. Hey, take a picture here. Hey, move over here. I've seen that a number of times. That being said, there is different ways to handle it besides the way that Guy Fieri handled it, and I don't think he handled it that well.
No, because I don't, because I think, well, put it to you this way, I think you're right. I'm not sure if he knew the Tates, but how he said it, you know, I don't know. I mean, is it going to cancel him completely? Probably not.
No, not a chance.
No, but
I mean, the Tates, no offense to the Tates, they're not mainstream enough.
No, they're not. No, no. Put it to you this way. I mean, Eric Swalwell, little red state, blue state here, got canceled really quick. Okay.
So he
got canceled quicker than Guy Fieri did or will.
Yeah. Okay? And the thing of it is, he said, well, I'm going to defend these baseless charges, but I'm also going to be resigning from Congress and suspending my governorship run. And I believe there was another person who also got caught allegedly with his hands in the cookie jar, and he resigned. I don't remember what his name is off the top of my head, but I do remember that it happened around the same time.
Well, we need some Haterade.
Oh, yeah. Haterade!
You have this one.
I do, don't I? Well, Taylor Frankie Paul, for all of her Taylor Frankie Paul-ness over the last month or so, will not be charged criminally in court. I have the quote here from the DA of the Draper Police Department and the West Jordan Police Department. That would be the attorney's offices, the Salt Lake County District Attorney's Office. The complainant in these cases reported several incidents and some of which occurred more than 3 years ago. Any incidents and misdemeanor offenses are alleged to have occurred more than 2 years ago are barred by the statute of limitations. Incidents which are alleged to have occurred within the statute of limitations have also been reviewed. Several incidents that were submitted do not rise to the level of criminal offenses. The remaining incidents lack sufficient evidence to support filing criminal charges, where the state must be able to prove such allegations beyond a reasonable doubt. Such incidents lack specificity as to when and what actually occurred, or corroboration. Based on the evidence submitted for screening by the Draper Police Department and West Jordan Police Department, the Salt Lake County District Attorney's Office declines to file any charges.
Boy.
This is not a court of law on this podcast. This is a court of public opinion. We have the footage. We know what happened. Not much more needs to be said. And if ABC has any amount of scruple, they will keep this season off the air. The budget be damned. I personally think maybe it's time for the Bachelor franchise to, you know, sit on the sideline for a bit, decide what they want to do going forward, and then maybe in, let's say, 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 years later, come back.
I think that I don't see how in the world that's going to air on ABC.
No, it's not. There's no way. They're done. It's finished. Because
I don't know about the franchise, but that specific series definitely is not making it there.
There you go.
So, and we need to take another vacation from this. Where are we going?
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £50 per person. That's £200 off for a family of four.
I hear Portugal is nice this time of year.
And this, yes, and this, I'm really happy about this because this was a show that got us through the pandemic. And I'm glad it's back. And that's holy moly.
Holy moly. Oh.
Yes.
Yep, Fremantle is just scooped up the international rights to the show, and they're going to be hubbing it out from Portugal. Last month, reports emerged that Ant and Dec were developing a UK version of their show with Fremantle and their own indie, and now it's actually going. This one comes out of Eureka Productions, which Fremantle scooped up from founder Chris Colvinor. And Jennifer Mullen has said, "Holy moly, has proven its success in the United States with its unique blend of comedy, competition, and large-scale spectacle, attracting a significant and broad audience. We are excited to drive the format's international expansion through our new global production hub in Portugal."
I'm down for that. That could be pretty cool.
That could be pretty cool.
And I do like Holy Moly. So I'd be interested to see what foreign touches they put on there.
Yeah, I like Holy Moly. You know what I also like? Proly Moly. Proly Moly.
Media Holy Moly in Portugal.
I got pros. I got pros. In different area codes. Area codes. Pros. Pros.
And this week's Media Pro Report, follow me, guys. We have Megan, the Duchess of Sussex, a guest judging on MasterChef Australia. We said goodbye to Joy Harmon. Rest in peace. Adam Levine will return to The Voice season 30. Alan Richardson's new project is going to Netflix. It's called... Well, actually, it's a Survivor competition, but it does not have a name as of yet. Becca Cooper and Thomas Jacobs welcome their second baby. Joey Graziadei has a save the date. Vanna White has been seen hanging out with her kids at Coachella. Bradley Walsh reforms the Pratt Pack on tour to tour during the Chase taping hiatus. And Adam Sanders, the winner of The Road, is going to guest star on Marshalls, while David Letterman says that CBS just doesn't want to spend any money on Byron Allen. But none of them are your pros of the week. Jason, the floor is yours.
Thank you. The TV show Hacks is doing an episode on April 30th in their final season, where they're going to do The Amazing Race. Okay? A fictional celebrity edition. Okay?
Okay.
And it was filmed with actual Amazing Race crew members. And they wrote challenges and structures the clues like the real competition. I am looking forward to seeing this. It's a fake Amazing Race.
It's a fake Amazing Race. So, yeah, I didn't see DJ, which is played by Caitlin Olsen, teaming up with Lisa Kudrow on an Amazing Race. But hey, pretty cool stuff.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
Hitting the button right here. And it's time for a little bit of numberific stuff. Yes, numberific. Well, excuse me. That's a New Jersey lottery ticket, so I use that. I wasn't going to say the other one because that's a show we can't use the title for. So, yes, we're going to play a little higher or lower right after this. We will be right back. This is
5 AM. WLTI has been brought to you by Undercover Drag Queen. That's right, instead of their bosses being dressed up like employees, they're dressed up like drag queens. And they do vaudeville and lip sync. Can you imagine lip syncing drag queen over at McDonald's? Now you can. That is Undercover Drag Queen. Which employees will Shantae away?
So, we are playing our game, which is one of our favorites. It's called Higher Lower. Gordon and Chico will give 6 scenarios, and he will put a number on it. And we will see if it's going to be higher or lower. For example, Chico.
For example, Jamie Ding. How many games will he log in before he ultimately shuffles off this trivial coil? Go higher or lower than 35?
I'm going higher. I don't see him losing any time soon. I don't. He's the perfect machine. We haven't seen a machine like this since James Holzhauer. Higher. 35.
Okay, Gordon.
I'd like to go with higher also for the exact same reasons that Jay said. He is a friggin' powerhouse at this point. He hasn't really ran into any sort of subjects that can hinder him, and his betting's been pretty solid. I'll go higher.
I'm going to go higher for all of the reasons stated. I mean, he has been playing the front game masterfully. He does need to watch his wager on subjects that he may not know about, but I have not yet seen a subject he likes to stay away from, like the plague. So, yeah, higher.
Okay, I have one.
All right.
You don't mind. Wheel of Fortune. As of tonight, we have had no two-day champion yet in the returning champion, the new returning champion era. Correct. By the time the experiment ends in May, higher or lower than three games will be the best that we see.
I'm gonna go lower on this because Wheel of Fortune is, you know, you think it's spin the wheel, choose the letter, but there's actually a strategy and nuance, and you have to know when you want to solve a puzzle. And the thing of it is, everybody who plays is guaranteed to get something, so why not play to the hilt? So, yeah, I'm gonna go lower.
Oh, it's going to be higher. Without question, it's going to be higher. Somebody, just like what I said on Jeopardy, somebody, the right person's going to be at the right place at the right time. Wheel of Fortune, same thing. Someone's going to figure it out. And it will also be somebody that doesn't do well in the bonus round because they will get the incentive that they want to keep on winning. So I don't think it's going to be a champion that wins a ton in terms of that, but I think you're going to have I can see somebody grinding out $13,000, $14,000 per episode.
No, that's not, but what I'm talking about is that we only have a few more weeks for this to be. This is week two, right?
Oh, I know what you said. My point is that you're going to get a winner that is going to be winning not a lot, and it's going to keep on failing at bonus rounds, and they will still be hungry to win more money versus someone that wins like $60,000 and all of a sudden is satisfied and doesn't play like they didn't have any money. And that's how you're going to get your multi-time champion.
All right, Gordon, you got one for us?
Yes, I do. I do, actually. Going back to Survivor and doing the math, as we said before, we have 11 people left. We have 6 people in the pre-gaming committee. And I'll take something out of Jay's book. When we get to the final 6, how many of those 6 will be in the pre-gaming committee? Higher or lower? And I'm going to split this up the middle. Higher or lower than 3.5?
I'm going to go higher.
You meant 2.5, right? 3.5 is... Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm going to say higher, and it's going to be 4.
I'm also going to say higher, 4 out of 6.
Yeah, 4 out of 6 seems the right number. For me, I'm going to go higher on that also. When you pregame, you do it for a reason, and that's to get you this part.
There you go. All right, I've got one, and it's a little bit of a summer preview.
Okay.
As we speak, Press Your Luck is shooting episodes in the Dirty South. How many will end with someone winning $1 million? Go higher or lower than 0.5?
Lower. It's 0. No one is going to risk it just yet. It's still 0.
Oh, no, I think someone's going to risk it. And Jay, you're wrong. People have risked it before, and they've gotten nailed for doing so. But I think someone's going to win it this year. I'll go higher.
I am going to agree with Jason.
You would.
Yeah. Gordon Pepper roasting me over the coals, ladies and gentlemen. No, the thing of it is, some shows are not about the money, the top prize. Some are about the spectacle. Press Your Luck is and has always been about the spectacle. The journey, if you will. People don't watch to see if somebody wins a million. They just want to watch to see how far they'll go. And if somebody wins the million, that's just icing on the cake.
I cannot disagree with you more. They don't watch for the spectacle. They watch to see the whammy animations.
Yes,
that too.
They wanted to see someone fail miserably.
That's part of the spectacle.
I'm still very on that thought.
I have an opinion. There you go. Jason.
You're aware?
Okay. Ice is Right Live is going to try and be a 60-minute show. How many errors are we going to see on the show live? Higher or lower than 5?
I'm going to go lower. They run a tight ship on The Price is Right, I like to think. John Quinn is not dumb. He is a student of game shows as much as you or I or Gordon or anybody else. He is not dumb. If he's going to do a live show, he is going to run it like a live show. This is going to be like The Price is Right back in the good old days. Not saying that this is not the good old days, but The Price is Right as we remember.
Do you remember about 30 seconds ago why you said people watch for Sure Luck?
Yes.
Yes.
And the answer was we want to see Whammy fail.
Uh-huh.
Why do you think people are going to turn in to watch The Price is Right?
To watch...
Kent, it's not the spectacle. The spectacle is not the correct answer on this.
Failure is part of the spectacle.
They want to see dumpster fire level fail. I think they will get it, not because it's a bad ship, but because I'm pretty sure if I'm the producer, I go, let's do something silly once so that you will get people to watch, because then they think, okay, well, anything can happen.
You can't do something silly around Christmas. It's Christmas.
That's exactly why you do it higher.
All right, Jason?
No, I just did it. Gordon is the last one.
No, are you going higher or lower?
Oh, I'm going to go lower, but it's going to be like 3.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to get 3. Like, a prop is not going to work. Things like that. Okay?
They haven't been able to do that for the April Fool's specials.
Do not drive into the doors. We do not have the space for it.
No, exactly.
Okay. Gordon. Gordon, last one.
Last one. And we're going to make this a little bit interesting because, Chico, you were referring to this. And it may be a little bit too early, but let's talk Southern. I'm not going to talk about the shows that have are going to be renewed. I'm going to talk about the ones that haven't. How secure is the summer now in a whole era of cost cutting and tight watching and stuff like that? Higher or lower than 5 shows not getting renewed?
That's a good thing, because some of the shows that air on the summer are mainstays. You're talking about a summer, at least one. You're talking about Celebrity Family Feud on ABC, America's Got Talented Ninja Warrior on NBC, Big Brother on CBS, and then there's going to be a handful of shows that they try out at least one season. I think you're looking, you said 5 was the number, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a higher than 5. Because you're going to see, you saw the big mainstays, and then there's going to be like your mid-tier shows. Like, you're going to see your The Wall and Press Your Luck. That's your mid-tier shows. And then you're going to see what the networks are throwing against the wall to see what sticks. And those are large in number.
I'm gonna go lower, but I think it's gonna be like 4. It's not, it's very close. Okay. 4.
I'm gonna go higher because I think there's gonna be a lot of shows that are gonna be one hit wonders that will not see a season 2.
Now, we do not have the full summer schedule as of yet, but keep your eyes to the ground because the summer will be here before you know it.
Yes, it will. And you know what else will be here before we know it? Another break. Let's wrap this one up after this.
Interrupt.
WLTI has been brought to you by Survivor, Land of the Lost. Contestants are transported to an abandoned island where they not only have to survive against dinosaurs, but not get caught by Sleestaks. Will Ferrell hosts. R.I.P. Sid Croft. We lost a creative genius this week.
We did. We lost the man behind H.R. Puffin stuff, Sigmund did the Sea Monsters, Land of the Lost, and the Brady Bunch Variety Hour. Oh, ooh. We don't mention that, do we?
Were you a fan of the Crofts, Gordon?
I did like the Crofts.
I was always...
And of course they had the Lost Saucer, Electra Woman, and Dinah Girl. Remember that?
We talked about Electra Woman and Dinah Girl a couple of pilot months ago.
But yes, creative geniuses, even though half of them look like they did it while doing certain things we can't talk about on the show. But what we can talk about is the speed round, and well, that's going to happen now. Again, RuPaul's Drag Race is Mikey Mises to lose, right?
Right.
Yep. Wheel of Fortune, is someone going to get to 3 games?
Someone has to get to 2, so let's hope they do.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm going to see 2. Survivor. Which one of the 5 remaining outsiders will be going to the jury? Yeah, I said what I said.
Yeah, well, you did say what you said, and I agree with you. I want Jay to answer first.
I'm going to say Aubrey, maybe?
I'm going to say Rick.
Yeah, I agree with Chico. You can keep Aubrey around for a little bit. Rick is very dangerous, especially in the physical stature movement. You've got to get rid of him now when you have a chance.
All right, speaking of dangerous, Jamie Ding. Does he make it to 30?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He makes it to 30, and I will say every game will be a lock game. He's that good right now.
I think so, yes. I agree with you on that. And Wheel of Fortune, someone wins $1 million.
We have to get to the champions first, dude.
Wheel of Fortune, someone from Tournament of Champions.
$1 million.
No. Do we have any mail?
We do not, but if you want to send us some, you can go ahead and do so at WLTI@GameShowNewsNet.com. Or you could follow us on all social media, GameShowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block with the number 2 at the end.
I am at GSNN Haterade.
And of course, the network is at 5and1net, the number 5, ANDONENET, where we talk about anything and everything, including what we've got coming up next week at this time. It is Jason, myself, and the rest of the BS crew as we welcome 32 people into the NFL family. That is the 2026 NFL Draft on the BS Big Show live cap next week.
Which means we're not taping WLTI next Thursday, but we could be taping it next Friday.
We could
or
be
next Saturday.
Friday,
next Sunday.
Saturday. We could be going back to Wednesday. Who knows?
Ooh, maybe we should.
Maybe
well,
we
who
should.
Who knows? But who knows? But well. But here is this. What we will be doing is it is WrestleMania weekend.
Whee!
Yes, and a lot of controversy about this year's because of going to Vegas back-to-back and a lot of the questionable booking, questionable creative, and all that stuff. But we will be covering it on the NAWC. And AEW decided to hotshot the title, I think, in 4 minutes for MGM. For AEW. Darby Allin is your new champ, okay? Darby Allin is your new champ. Panel, UBA, what's going on?
What's going on is that we've got something new coming up. I can't say what it is yet. I can't say it will be in June. And I can't say first prize is $10,000.
Big money, money, big money, money, money.
Mm-hmm. Anybody want it? I'll give you more details next week.
And you're going to find all the details at the UBAtoday.info.
Yes.
Oh, wait. I got to play this.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money.
Dollar, dollar. There you go. Overall, it was a thing on TV. We have, as it is past midnight, the latest pilot for Pilot Month 2026. It is She's With Me featuring Diana Manoff and Jerry Hall. Yes, that Jerry Hall. We also have the new episode of the Squared Circle Time Machine, TNA Lockdown 2010, as Team Hogan takes on Team Flair in Lethal Lockdown. We also have Snavely, the first adaptation of Fawlty Towers in the U.S., and TNA Impact from 2010. All of that is at itwasathingontv.com. And next week, whenever we decide to do this show, we will review American Gladiators. We'll go over the finale of Drag Race and all of the news of the last 7 days in the world of game shows. Who knows? We might even get a collectible or two. Bob, let us, you know. Anyway, for Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for everybody at 501, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time's up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And special love.